You're listening to a teaching from Vineyard Church in Jacksonville, Florida. For more information on teachings and special events, visit us online at www.vcjax.org. That's vcjax.org. Now let's listen in.
Those of you who know, last, I guess for about 3 weeks in a row, I preached on worship. Last week I started on talking about pursuing God and going after Him. We're going to kind of move along in that same direction again tonight. But just kind of in way of a review and memory and remembrance of what we talked about the last few weeks, I gave you a quote. I mentioned a guy by the name of A.W. Tozier that wrote a book called The Pursuit of God. I really encourage you, if you've not read that, to get that book and read it. It's a classic on pursuing God. Here's a statement that he made. He said, "Our pursuit of God is successful just because He is forever seeking to manifest Himself to us." The reason that we are successful in getting Him, in other words, sometimes pursuing somebody kind of gives you almost the image, if you're not careful, you've got to chase somebody down. Well, we don't have to chase God down. He's pursuing us while we're pursuing Him. He's manifesting. It's His desire to show Himself to us. So we don't have to like try and find Him somewhere. Does that make sense to you? He's there. He's ready, and He's the one that gives us even the desire. I mean, if you find yourself literally with a desire to pursue Him, God's the one that put that in you. That makes sense? I mean, if he didn't do that, we wouldn't go after Him. As a lost person without Jesus, He does the drawing and we do the responding. And that's, thank God. I mean, thankful he draws us and comes after us. Jeremiah gives us this promise, or God gives it to us in the book of Jeremiah. It says, God's saying this, I love this passage. "When you come looking for me," this is in the Message, "when you come looking for me, you'll find me." God's saying to us, when you come looking for me, the promise is you're going to find me. If we pursue Him, we're going to find Him. Yes, listen to this. Yes, when you get serious about finding me, I love this, and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. Is that powerful? Am I the only one that gets that? I mean, that's a promise God gives to us. He says, if you come looking for me, you'll find me. If you seek me, if you come after me with all your heart, I'm going to let you find me. I'm going to meet you. Is what it says. This is God. I mean, this is the Creator of the universe. This is God that gives us a promise. It says, if you'll come after me, I'll meet you. If you seek me, and I love how the Message says that, if you go after Him more than anything else, I think that's the one that really gets me out of that. It's like, have you ever just had something that you just desired, and there was this other than God, okay? There's this thing or something that you desired, and you wanted. Maybe it was your girlfriend, and you wanted to get married. And you had this longing. Maybe it was for me it's a hunting trip out in Ohio. It's a big deer, okay? But God, it's like, magnify that by like 10 billion. And that's the kind of desire we ought to have for God. More than anything else. That, in other words, that puts a priority to it. God's saying, you need to want me more than you want food. Hello? More than you want food, more than you want stuff, more than you want a nice home, more than you want a nice car, more than you want a mate, more than anything else you want in this life, you need to want me more than that. And when you do, you find me if you seek me with your whole, this King, I think NIV says, with your whole heart. I like how the Message puts that. See, here's what I want us to get. Our pursuing Him isn't something we have to do. Our pursuing Him is something that we get to do. Our pursuing Him, going after Him, it's not some kind of rule, okay? It's not some kind of thing that we that you get saved and it becomes this rule that you've got to do, this thing that's, oh, okay, well, gosh, you know, I got to make myself get up and spend 10 minutes today pursuing God. Or I got to make myself, I'm going to be real holy, I'm going to make myself spend an hour today pursuing God. No, that it's not something we got to make ourselves do. It's something we get to do. We get to come before God. We get to climb up into his lap. We get to come before his presence. What did he do? He ripped the what? Veil. So we could come before him. We get to do that. It's a privilege we have, not a duty that we have. That's good. It's a privilege we have, not a duty we have. It's not just some other rule or regulation. In other words, it's literally our life. It's our lifeline. It's what going after God, pursuing him, is what feeds us. It's what energizes us. It's what gives us life. It's what gives us strength. It's literally everything. It's everything is going after him. It's pursuing him. It's not just something that we had to tack onto our busy schedule or something we just add to something at the end of the day that we've been running here and there and going and doing this and we got, oh, I better put in 5 minutes pursuing God. It needs to become our life, not something we just add on to our life. Does that make sense? I mean, it doesn't just get tacked on at the end of the day or tacked on at the front of the day. It becomes everything about us is pursuing him, is going after him. And that's when we find him. Jesus says this in John in the Message. I'm going to read this in the Message again. John chapter 15 says this: I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that does not bear grapes. That doesn't sound good, does it? Here's a better one. And every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes. Man, don't you just love that? I can't wait to get pruned some more. But you know why he prunes? He tells you. Why does he prune? Every branch that is grape brewing, he prunes back so that they'll what? Bear even more fruit. He prunes you so you bear more fruit. He doesn't prune you because he's mad at you. He doesn't prune you because you did something wrong and he wants to beat up on you or he's angry. No, he prunes us, he cuts us back, so we'll be healthier, so we'll bear even more fruit than we were bearing. See, it makes you want to sign up for that when you know the end result. You can put up with some chopping, some pruning. He prunes us so we'll bear more, even more fruit. You're already pruned back by the message I've spoken to you. So what's one way we get pruned? Yeah, hearing the Word, getting in the Word, studying the Word. That's one of the ways God speaks to us. He prunes us just through his Word. Then Jesus says this. This is what it means to pursue God, to go after him. Jesus makes this statement: live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. I just love that in the Message. In other words, King James or anybody says, attach yourself to the vine. Plug in. Plug into him. Make yourself at home there. Just like he's at home with you, you make yourself at home with him. In the same way a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you're joined with me. How do we bear fruit? By plugging into the branch, by plugging into him, by getting into his life. You can't bear fruit unless you're joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. In other words, Jesus said, when you plug into this vine, you're going to bear fruit and it's going to be abundant fruit. It's going to be good fruit. And the relationship is going to be intimate. It's going to be organic or natural. And the harvest is sure to be abundant. However, separated, you separate yourself, you come unplugged from the branch. You unplug from him and you say, no, I want to do it my way this time. I'm going to do my own thing. I got some wisdom here. I know what I'm doing. Or I got a friend that said I ought to do it this way. So that's I'm going to unplug. He says this, when you separate yourself, you can't produce a thing. How much can you produce if you're not plugged in? Zippo. Nada. Nothing. Anyone who separates from me, wow, is dead wood, gathered up and thrown onto the bonfire. But if you make yourself at home with me, and my words, again, my words are at home in you, you can be, listen to this, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. Isn't that awesome? You see, pursuing, let's go back, pursuing God, it becomes again, it's our highest priority. It's the thing we need to spend the most energy on. When we don't do that, when loving God and pursuing him and going after him and staying plugged into this branch, when that doesn't become our highest priority anymore, what happens is if we're not careful, we become Pharisees. We become like the religious crowd. We wind up becoming more concerned about rules and regulations and doing this and not doing this and quit doing that, start doing this. And it becomes just a bunch of rote rules and regulations that we feel like we have to follow. Does that make sense? See, there's a difference between being a Pharisee, following all the rules, thinking you got to earn your way into acceptance. There's a difference between that and being plugged in over here, getting life and energy and fruit from Jesus and doing those things. You are going to witness, you're going to share, you're going to pray, you're going to read your Bible, you're going to love on people, you're going to do all those things, but you're doing them because you're plugged into the source of energy and strength and life that gives you the ability to do it instead of over here trying to make yourself, man, I got to love on my neighbor, I got to do this, I got to pray, I got to read my Bible, I got to witness, there's so many things I got to do. If I don't do them, I'm just not going to be a good Christian and they won't like me anymore at church. Does that sound familiar? I mean, you know, here's the other part of this. When you're in this crowd over here is the Pharisaical crowd, caught up in all the do's and the don'ts, guess what else you start doing? You start judging everybody else that's not doing those things. Don't you? I mean, that person isn't doing this. He doesn't wear the right clothes when he comes to church. He doesn't look proper. Can you believe he was dressed like that? Can you believe he did that? He's not doing this. He doesn't worship like I worship. I bet he doesn't read his Bible 1 minute a day instead of 10 that I do. I bet he has a beer every now and then. You knew I'd throw that in. I bet he dances. Oh Lord. The stuff we come up with. See, Jesus is a lot more impressed when we're just plugged into him and just drawing energy and life and joy and peace and love, and we start loving on people and we start caring for our neighbors, not because it's some thing that we got to do. Oh God, the preacher preached on witnessing and loving our neighbor and having dinner, I better go do that. The difference is I really start loving my neighbor and I want to spend some time with them. Maybe they're lost. I'll tell you something I found out in the last 5 or 10 years. I actually like hanging out with lost people more sometimes than I do hanging out with Christians. You know why? Because most of the time they're real. I don't know if I told you. I may have told you this story. We lived in a house out off of somewhere out there, off of Beach Boulevard, somewhere down yonder. We had a neighbor. The neighbor and this lady that he lived with, they weren't married. He owned actually two tattoo shops. Had tattoos all over him. Young guy, probably in his early 30s. I'm an old fart. Every time I see him outside, I go and start talking to him. Just start becoming a friend, ask him what he does, how he got into doing this. You can be honestly interested. What put you into doing tattoos? I mean, how'd you get into that line? And if they had a baby together, and they weren't married. And I could have been an old judgmental Christian and just judged them. But I just loved on them, loved their kid. And Kathy and I just hugged on the kid and played with them. And I think his 1 year birthday comes along, and I don't tell anybody, but I have a beer with him every now and then. What? I know. And I pull up one day. Kathy's inside already, and they're outside, the two of them with the son. It's a 1 year old. Today's his birthday. They tell me. Well, as soon as I pull up, the funny thing is he sees me. They're holding his arm. I roll my window down. And talk. He comes climbing through the window to climb into my lap and for me to hug on him. And they're like astonished, you know, that even happened. And so they said, why don't you and Kathy come to the birthday party tonight? We said, we'd love to. So we go to the party, and there's probably 20 people there at this particular time. And we're sitting in the living room, and he's in the kitchen, and you can see through the kitchen. And he's there with just a couple of his buddies. And I'm sitting on the couch drinking a beer and sitting there with his uncle. I keep throwing that in. Did y'all notice that? Sitting there with his uncle. Well, his uncle he loves Jesus, okay? And his uncle's basically has been like a dad to this kid, okay, and has raised him and just loved on him and cared for him. So there's a really strong relationship. Well, the uncle finally gets around to asking the question that everybody asks, well, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a pastor. He goes, what? I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. He stops. Okay, there's 20 people in this room sitting around on chairs, hollers at Mike, who's in the kitchen with a see-through thing where he can see it. Hey, Mike, did you know your neighbor's a preacher? And the whole room gets quiet. I mean, it's like some kind of disease I had or something. So Mike hollers at the girlfriend. I can't remember her name right now, but he hollers at her. Hey, did you know Bob is a preacher? and she hollers back, well, yeah, I think I did know that, because I probably told her and didn't tell him. I'm trying to keep that top secret when I'm loving on neighbors. So anyway, the conversation starts going again. Well, Kathy and I get ready to leave. Well, by this time, four or five of his other buddies have showed up. They're all tattooed up with things in their ears and holes in their ears. And you know what I'm talking about. Stuff everywhere. We're walking out, and we look into the kitchen. This guy, Mike, my buddy Mike, is standing there with his buddies. They're all drinking, having a good time. And so we holler at him, wave at him, hey, we're leaving. He stops the conversation. These guys weren't there when the other conversation was going on. He said, hey, that's my neighbor. He's a preacher. Like it's some kind of disease. And then he stops, and he goes, but he's a cool preacher. That just blessed my socks off. I mean, I would so much rather be a cool preacher to this lost, tatted up, tattoo parlor owner guy than a cool preacher to a bunch of Christians. I'm not knocking y'all. I love y'all, and I know y'all think I'm cool and everything. But that, I'm telling you, there's something about just loving on people, not because you have to do it. I can remember taking, Steve knows this, when we took all these courses on how to witness and how to do this, and you had to know the Romans Road, or you had to know this program or this thing, and remember, so you could pigeonhole somebody. If you die tonight, you know where you're going, you know, and put them in some kind of corner and put them on the offensive instead of just loving on people. Just care for them. One of the ways you love, you know, one of the best ways to love people is just listen to them. Just let them share their story and be, want to know it. I mean, that helps if you really want to know it. But let them just share and talk. And I'm telling you, at some point you'll get the opportunity. Something will happen in their life. They'll know you're a Christian. They'll know something. But if something will happen in their life, and they'll reach out to you. And they'll ask you questions. And if you can just share with them, hey, this thing, this whole thing isn't some religious experience. It's not about being Pharisees or religion. It's about knowing God. It's about having a relationship with God. That's why he made us, so we could have a relationship with him. And he made us a way for us to have that. He sent his son to die for us so we could enter into that kind of relationship with him. That sounds a whole lot better gig to me than, hey, you know, if you die tonight, you're going to hell. I mean, one's a little more appealing. They're both true. Amen. Thanks, Bob, for sharing that with us. Wow. All right. I'm skipping over this part. We will be here all night. In review. I'm not skipping. Let's review. Last week, I asked you three questions, real quick. First question was, is it possible to go through all the motions, keep all the rules, and yet lose your love for Jesus? And the answer was, yes. We looked at what? Revelation. Who remembers? The church at Ephesus. And he pats them on the back. I'm not going to read it all, but he tells them all, you've done this, you've done this, you've done good here, you love people, you treat other people like this, you're doing well. But here's one problem I got with you. You've forsaken your love you have with me. It's about relationships. It's not about rules. It's about your love for Jesus. The second question was, is it possible to know all the Word, all about the Word, to know it, and still not be in love with Jesus? Yes. Absolutely. Jesus says this in John, you search the Scriptures, talking to the Pharisees who knew the Bible, because you think they give you eternal life, but the Scriptures point to me, yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. The word they were beating people up with is the same word that was pointing people to Jesus, and they didn't see it. Is it possible to do all kinds of things for Jesus and still not know him? Again, the answer was yes. We talked about the people that Jesus says, they prophesy my name, they cast out demons, they did this, they did this. And Jesus says, depart from me, because I never knew you. It was all about relationship. Tonight, I want us to look at just some practical ways to pursue God. It's one thing to do that, but what are some ways we can do that? First, I think the most important is be hungry for God. It's a stirring. And if you're not hungry, ask God to give you the hunger. Hello? If the hunger isn't there, ask God to give it to you. God, make that your prayer. Start off with that. God, let me tell you a little secret. If you're not hungry for God, he already knows it. And he still loves you. So it won't shock him if you just get honest with him. Say, you know what? I'm kind of like this church. I don't have that love I used to have. Dad, I just don't have the fire like I used to have. I don't have that zeal. I don't have that hunger. God, would you just give me that back? Restore that hunger in me. Put the fire in me. Stir it up. Fan the flame. Holy Spirit, come. Make that your prayer. I'm telling you, one of these days, I probably won't either. Let y'all read my journal. But probably 90% of the time, one of my prayers in my journal is, God, fan the flame. Come, Holy Spirit. Something along those lines. God, give me some fire. Give me vision. Give me hunger. I want to want you. I want to want you more than anything else I want. Hello? You don't just work that up. You don't just make that happen. That's something the Holy Spirit comes and he puts that in you. He puts the desire in you to want to want him more than you want anything else. He's the one that does that drawing. We got to be receptive and say, come. Do a work in me. Stir up that fan that flame that's in me. I want to love you. And the way you do that sometimes is just by putting yourself in a place to get hungry. Hello? You do it by getting in a place to get hungry. I would just encourage it. One of the ways you can do that, let me get to that in a minute. Psalm 42, here's the scripture. My soul, this is David, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet God, with God? That's his prayer. This is the King David crying out, my soul thirst for you, God. I'm hungry for you. So we can cry out to God with that and just tell him, God, I'm hungry, but I want to be hungrier. I'm thirsty, but I want to be thirstier. I want to want you. Another psalm, he says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Can you see the hunger that he's got? The passion for God, the passion to know him, to want him. Get hungry. If you're not hungry, ask for more. Even if you are hungry, ask for more. Just keep asking for more. Another way to come after God, to pursue him, is just in prayer. Spend time with him. So how did you learn, those of you that are married, how did you learn to love your spouse? By doing what? By spending time with them. By just hanging out. I mean, Kathy and I, we just like to hang out with each other. We just wanted to be around one another. We dated for 7 years. She was a little slow. I'm pretty sure she would tell a different story. But we just wanted to be together. We could be watching TV or whatever. I can remember one time I had to take this job that kept me out of town for about 3 weeks in a row. I was working a shutdown down in South Florida. And I, at the end of the first week, I had to come home. I drove from Miami back to Jacksonville for one day so I could drive back to Miami so I could spend a few hours with Kathy. Why? Because I wanted to be with her. I wanted to get to know her. She wanted to get to know me. We just liked being together. We liked hanging out. It's the same way with God in prayer. Guess what you're doing in prayer? You're not just going through your list, okay? You're not just going through this do list that you got to do. In prayer, you're spending time with God. You're hanging out with him. Prayer is two-way communication. You with me? Prayer isn't just me going through all my list of things to do and then leaving. Prayer is for me crying out to God and taking the time to listen. What's he saying? What's he saying to me? What's he telling me? It's two-way. It's hanging out. We're told in 1 Thessalonians to pray without ceasing, to continually be praying. Part of praying, and I would encourage you to this, part of praying is journaling. If you're not journaling, you know what journaling is? We'll have a teaching on journaling. They have these books called Journal. And you open them up, and they're blank pages. And you write a date, and you spend some time with God, and you start writing down. You start putting down what the impression. Journaling is basically this, is putting down and writing down your prayers and the impressions that you get that God's given you. That's what journaling is. You write it. I would encourage you when you're writing, I'll give you a little instruction. When you are journaling, write in first person. In other words, say, Bob, I love you. Write that down. That's God telling me, Bob, I love you. If he tells me that, write it down. If he gives you an impression, Bob, I want you to do this today. Bob, let's spend some more time together. Let's do this. Write it in first person. In other words, in your journaling, don't beat yourself up. 90, I'd say at least 90, maybe a higher percent, maybe 95%. 90% of what you're writing in your journaling should be encouraging, not beating yourself up. Well, I screwed up, I messed up, I did it. It's okay to write those things. It's okay to just say, you know, Jesus, I messed up yesterday, I did this, and then go on. Don't get all defeated and beat up. It should be an encouraging thing that you're writing down. Jesus loves you. Did you get that? And he'll tell you that. Listen, Kathy knew I loved her, but you know what? She wanted me to tell her I loved her. She didn't want to just know it. She would not have been happy if I just told her, hey, you know, 30, 40 years ago, I told you when we got married, I love you. That'll be, when I change my mind, I'll let you know. She probably wouldn't have been happy with that. And she would have told me so. It should leave you feeling good when you're journaling. I'd encourage you to review your journal. They also have them on computer. I use one called Day One. I think that's the name of it. I like about it. It's password protected. Nobody can ever read what I put in there. I think it's called Day One. I type faster than I write, so I find out I put down a lot more stuff than I normally would if I'm writing because I'm lazy and I don't write a bunch, but I can type it, type faster. It's real easy to go back and review it. I can actually read it 3 days later after I wrote it. So, I mean, there's a number of different ways to do it. Kathy always wrote hers out. But I would encourage you to go back and review it. I love to go back and read things I wrote years ago and go, oh, wow, that happened. God did that. God answered that prayer. God's done this since then. He's worked this out. He's brought things. He's brought these people together that I was praying for. He's done restoration with my kids. Or he's done. I'd love to be able to go back and read those things. Go back and when I get a word that I feel like it's a prophetic word, I write it down. Then I can go back and review it again. One last thing. Don't think you're too old to start. Rock. I really mean that. I can remember, I heard about journaling from the time I got saved when I was 22 years old. Started going to seminary. They talked about it all the time. Never did it. I can remember year after year thinking, man, I need to start journaling. I think it was 2007. Yeah. When I first started journaling, 2007, I was 21, I think. My math's not as good as my English. Well, my point is what was I, 50-something? Yeah. And I finally just, it's like, you know what? I'm not too old. At 50, I'll probably live another 30 years. Just start now. I don't care what age you are. If you're not, you don't use an excuse, well, I'm too old to start journaling now. Just start. At some point, start. Just start doing it. Worship. We've talked a lot about worship, so I'm not going to. Let me just read this one verse. Worship is a way of loving on God and entering into his presence. Psalms 100, again in the message, I'm going to read this to you. On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourself into his presence. Know this, God is God. He made us. We didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter the password, thank you. Don't you love that? Make yourselves at home, talking praise, thank him, worship him. For God is your beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. Enter his courts, in other words, with thanksgiving. Last one, and I'm going to close this thing. Get into the Word. You hear me talk about the dangers of making this God. This isn't God, okay? This is the Word of God. We need to love God, not just the Bible. You with me?
Yes.
I grew up in a denomination that loved the Bible. Sometimes I think loved the Bible more than they love God. It's not just for the purpose of studying. It wasn't written for that reason. It was written as a love letter. How many times have you heard that this is an instruction manual? You ever heard that? Huh? Well, it does give instruction. Let me ask you guys, when do you go to the instruction, when you have an actual instruction manual, when do you go to it?
After we can't figure out how to do it.
Exactly. It comes with this thick book, instructions of how to put it together. And most guys just start putting it together. And the worst thing is when you get to the end, you realize you got 8 bolts left over that went somewhere and you don't really know where they went. And you can't put this one on because you were supposed to put it on 18 steps earlier. Now you got to undo all those 18 steps to go back to put that bolt where it really belongs. or you put the wrong bolt in. Is that right, Rock? And so men, most of the time, when they finally do go to an instruction manual, it's after they figured out they can't make it without it. And in this case, if that's your best choice, then go for it. If you figured out you can't make it without it, then go for it now. That's okay. But the best bet's to go for it to begin with. The Word of God's a love letter, not an instruction manual. It's God demonstrating and showing us and speaking to us about how much He loves us and how much He cares for us. You can hear God. That's the part of pursuing God, is we want to hear Him. We don't go to Him after we've tried it on our own, after all of our miserable attempts failed. Jesus makes this statement. It's written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." God, listen to me. God is still a speaking God. Try that again. God still speaks. He still speaks. He's a speaking God. And if we'll get still long enough to hear Him, we'll hear Him speaking. He's a speaking God. Man doesn't live just by bread, but from every word that comes from God. God will speak to you through His Word. Every day, literally, I mean, there's very few days I don't just open the Bible. I have a reading plan typically where I'm reading through a book. Sometimes I'll read a book just casually, and I love like translations like The Message or The Passion or some of those translations, just to sit down and read through a whole book of the Bible. Just read them at one shot. And then there's times where I go back and I literally just go verse by verse. Okay? And I go, when I'm doing both of those, actually, I'm not doing it for the purpose of studying the Bible. I'm doing it for the purpose of hearing from God. Does that make sense? Do you understand the difference? See, I spend a lot of time every week studying the Bible for study reasons, for preaching purposes, so I can know the Word to teach you guys the Word. But if I spent all my time just doing that, I just would dry up. Because the life comes when I'm getting into the Word to hear from God. What are you saying? And a lot of times it's both happen, okay? I mean, there's a lot of times, literally, I've told you, I listen to my podcast almost every week after, and there's a lot of times I listen to it and go, "Oh, wow, thank you, Jesus. And He'll convict me of something. He'll speak to me about something. Did I really say that? That was good. Y'all need to pay more attention." Sometimes when I can't sleep at night, Seriously, though, the Word, yes, you're to study it. It is for studying. Scripture says study to show yourself approved, workman unto God, and he's not to be ashamed. There is rightly dividing the Word of God. It is for that purpose as well. But it's not just a manual to study. It's not just an instruction book to get instructions. It's a love letter from God to speak to your heart. You see the difference in that? And if I'll go to it for that, sometimes you may read verses, you may read chapters, and all of a sudden, just a word or a verse or something will just jump out at you, and God will start speaking to you through that portion of that scripture, and you can stop, you can meditate on it. You know, meditation's not just some Eastern religion, okay? Meditation is you just kind of stop and you listen and you pray about it and you think about it and you what's that word that cows do? They chew their food, chew their cud, and they kind of chew it and spit it up. That's kind of nasty sounding. That's what it means to meditate. You read it and you're like, "Yes, speak to me," and He speaks to you, and you think about it and you pray about it, and He speaks to you some more about it, and you write it down in your journal because you're journaling. And then guess what? You'll remember it because you wrote it down. I know all of y'all in here have 100% recall and can remember everything that you ever thought about. But let me encourage you, write it down. Because you know what will happen? If you don't write it down, what will happen? You'll forget. How many times have you been woken up in the middle of the night, knew God was saying something to you, and you thought to yourself, "Man, I don't want to get up and write that down. I don't want to wake myself up. I'll remember it in the morning." And I've done this. I've sat there and said this thing, same. I'll repeat it to myself 10 times. When I wake up in the morning, I'm going to remember this. Go to bed, wake up, and can't remember it. a lot of times, that's what's so sweet about journaling. You can go back and read it and go, oh, yeah, I remember that. That was good. That was good stuff. Well, amen. That's some practical tools for getting into pursuing God. I'm going to probably do maybe one more teaching next week on it. And let's do it. Let's commit to that. Amen? Commit to pursuing Him. That's, I don't know any other way to put it, but that's what it's all about. That's what this whole thing is about. That's what Christianity is about. That's what all the theology and the church and the stuff that we do and worship and preaching and it all boils down to knowing Him, being in relationship. That's what separates us from the rest of the pack. Every other religion is about doing something. It is. You can boil it down to you got to do something. Christianity is about relationship. It's about knowing Him. It's really that simple. Amen.
You've been listening to a teaching from Vineyard Church. For more information on teachings and special events, visit us online at www.vcjax.org. That's vcjax.org.